Hi.
Hi. Sorry, I had a... told George you can't sing that song last anymore because I got all messed up and I got up. Just give me a minute.
Breathe.
Breathe. Okay. Okay. That's a pretty cool song. Yahweh. Yahweh's not a word that means God. It's his name. It's his name. It's who he is. It's going to be a long service if we go like this. Yeah, give me a minute. When we recognize who he is, the creator of everything. He said his name is I Am. He doesn't change. In that first story in the Bible, we see his spirit hovering, King James says, on the face of the deep, right? So there's this big, black, wet mess. And over all of that is hovering the spirit of God. And that word for spirit, is the word ruach. The ruach, the breath of God. That's what it means. It means his breath. It means the wind that comes out of him. It means the essence of who he is. And that's all it took to go from utter darkness and blackness and chaos to this beautiful creation and this amazing world, just the breath of God. And when we say, breathe on me, we're asking him to fill us with that same spirit, with that same power, with that same love, with that same compassion, with that same creativity. We're asking him to take this amazing essence of who God is and give some of it to us. And man, I don't know what you're up against, but I'm getting my butt kicked out there, right? I can't do this by myself. And to just know, like Joy said, that we can go to our Father that created Yahweh. Yahweh, we can ask him to breathe his life into us, to empower us to do great, great things for the kingdom, to empower us to get through some of the stuff that we're facing. That is an amazing privilege, an amazing blessing. And I think it starts with us just seeing who we're talking to when we say Yahweh. So as of today, we will never do that song last again. That's it. That's it. We got to get to work here for crying out loud. Okay. No Kleenex up here, nothing. I got short sleeve shirt. This is why you wear long sleeve shirts when you're... Okay, what are we doing next? Okay, a couple things. We have some new members today that I want to introduce you to. Kevin and Lisa Fagan, and they're sitting right there. They're going to stand up as much as they love it. They're going to wave. Welcome to them, guys. We love them. Thank you, guys. So they're welcome. They've been coming to church here for a couple of years, honestly, and they were already kind of getting plugged in and everything, but I just think they've kind of come to a place where they've said, you know, we're done watching what God is doing here, and we want to become part of what God is doing here. And I'll just tell you, if you want to talk about membership, I would love to talk to you about it, but don't do it. Don't do it, because it's a commitment, man. We're really asking you to do something. You can come to church and be a customer, you know, from now on if you want to. And if the guy across the street is preaching a series you like better, you can go over there, you know. If I say something you don't like, you can go somewhere else. If we sing a song you don't think is scriptural, you can go someplace else. If your kid gets punched in Sunday school, just leave the church, whatever you want. Somebody get your parking place, we run out of donuts, just go. But when you become a member, it's like being a member of a family, right? Now we've got a commitment here. And that means we're going to do certain things. We're going to take on certain things. And some of those things are going to be hard. And we're going to put up with people. And some of those people are going to be morons. That's just the way it is. Okay? So this is what it is. None of you guys, but the second service. So that's what it is to be a member, is a real commitment on your part. And if that's something you'd like to talk about, you need to make sure that you're committing to the right church. And so that's really, we talked this week for a long time. And just like, they're sure, this is the church that they want to commit to. So welcome to them. And if anybody here would like to talk about membership, just grab a connection card. On your way out, check that box that says membership, and we'll give you a call. And you can come in, we can talk this thing out, see if maybe membership is right for you. Okay, what do you want to do next? Let's pray, and then let's get into the word. Father, thank you for who you are, Yahweh. And help us to see you more. Remind us, God, that you want to breathe your breath on us. You want to give us your power and your spirit and your love and your energy and your calling. You want to do amazing things in us and amazing things through us. And we just need to ask, Yahweh, breathe on us. And so today, Lord, as we're looking at your word, I just pray that you'll show us something that we need to see and teach us something we need to learn and change us through your word. In your name, amen. Okay, so I'm 63 years old, and like when I say that, no, don't clap. Here's what I want you, when I say that, you should go, no way. Okay, let's try it again. Okay, watch this. I'm 63 years old. I know. I'm as surprised as you are, believe me. But I'm kind of starting to come to grips with the fact that I will probably never win an Olympic gold medal. Or a silver medal, or a bronze medal, or the Nobel Prize, or the Pulitzer Prize, or the Presidential Medal of Freedom, or the Neighborhood Yard of the Month. It's like, I probably will never write a great book, or a great song, or a great poem. Although in fourth grade, I wrote a really good limerick. I found it in my mom's attic a while back. You guys want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. I got to think about it. I memorized it. A silly young camper named Brent found a bear in the door of his tent. With nothing to do, he hid in his shoe. And when he came out, he was bent. What do you think? That's good. I got an A. My mom thought it was great. But truthfully, I don't think I'm going to make it as a great writer, and I don't think I'm going to ever be a great athlete, and I don't think I'm ever going to be like some great business tycoon or millionaire or something. I had big hopes for that one too. You know, I was going to be a millionaire by the time I was 30, and I was 29. I was like, this is not looking good, you know? And I was talking to somebody, and they told me, you know, I've heard that the second million is a lot easier than the first million. And I said, well, I'm just going to skip the first million, go straight to the second million. But that one was not easier for me either. And so, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting old, but I'm starting to just realize that some things are out of my reach. You know, that I'm never going to be the best or the fastest or the first one picked for the team. Most people don't even want me on their teams. And that kind of hurts. You know, it kind of hurts. And I don't think it's so much like I want like accolades or something like that. I don't think it's that I want like personal comfort or to be famous. But you know what it is? I want to do something that matters. I want to matter. I want to feel like my life has made some sort of difference, that it mattered. You ever been to a funeral and like they can't think of anything nice to say of the deceased? Right? Well, here lies Larry, right? Truthfully, he kind of peaked out with that poem in fourth grade. You know, it's like, you know, he always, you know, kept his truck clean, so that's good. He had that one good round of golf that time, you know. For being overweight, he didn't really sweat all that much. It's like, we're just trying to think of something. I don't want that. I don't want that. Don't you want to matter? Don't you want to feel like you did something that mattered? Don't you want to feel like your life had some like importance, like I left a mark in the world, like I made a difference in the world? Don't you hate the idea of life being just getting up in the morning, getting through the day, going to bed, and getting up the next morning? Don't you just want to do something more? Don't you want to be part of something bigger than that? I think everybody does, not just old people. I think everybody does, and I think the reason we crave that is because God wired that into us. Because God created us to do more than just exist. God created us to partner with him in ruling the world. God created us to make a difference. God created us to matter. Ephesians 2:10, we'll put the verse on the screen for you. It says, we've been created new in Christ Jesus. And why? So that we can do good things that God planned for us long ago, that God planned for us before time. God has had plans for you to really matter. Before time, God had a plan for you to make a difference, to do something more important than being a great athlete or being a great author or writing a great poem or making a lot of money. God wants you to do something so important that it could affect not just the lives, but the eternities of people. So that people could come up to you 10,000 years from now and say, thank you. I have this eternal relationship with God now, and it's partly because of you. God wants you to do something so important that someday Jesus will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. You've seen these Olympic athletes getting their medal, and the flag goes up, and the song is playing, and that's just moving. It's overwhelming. Can you imagine Jesus saying to you, look at me now, you did it. Good job. Well done, good and faithful servant. You made an impact on people. You made an impact on the world. You made an impact on the kingdom that will last forever. John 15, 16, Jesus said, I chose you. I appointed you to produce lasting fruit, not just something that goes away a year later. Lasting, eternal fruit. 1 Peter 2:21, God's called us to do good stuff. He's called us to follow in Jesus' steps. Can you imagine living like Jesus? Can you imagine doing what he did? Can you imagine loving like he did? Can you imagine mattering like Jesus mattered? 1 Peter 1:16, God has called us to be holy. It's a big calling, man, to be different, to be unique, to be separate from the whole rest of the world. 1 Peter 2:9, it says that God has called us to show other people the goodness of God. That is a big thing to do, to show other people the goodness of God. Matthew 28, Jesus leaves his disciple. I think he's leaving us with this huge calling to go into the world and make disciples of every people group, of every nation. So our why, right, our reason, our purpose, our calling is to produce what God calls lasting fruit, to do real good, to show other people the goodness of God, and to make disciples of all nations, to impact people, and to impact the world, and to impact God's kingdom here. And that is way better than a medal, and that is way better than an achievement or an accomplishment like writing a book or a song or a poem. And to me, that sounds awesome. That God could call me to do something that matters that much, but it's kind of vague. You know, my question is like, oh, I'm in. You know, I want to do what he, but like, how do I get there? How do I find my specific calling? Where do I fit in kind of to this whole thing? How do I get my calling? How do I find my purpose? I want to impact people. You know, I want to change the world. And I want to bring God's kingdom here, but like, where do I start? Where do I look? How do I know? If only God would like write us a book. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. Guess what? He did. And the Bible is amazing. It teaches us who God is. It teaches us who we are. It teaches us who we are in him. It teaches us who we are to him. It teaches us who we are to each other. And it teaches us how we should live and why we're here. And it teaches us I know it's kind of confusing sometimes for us, but it teaches us in a couple of different ways. One, it teaches us with just like imperatives, direct instructions. And these things are not always easy to do, but they're usually pretty easy to understand, right? Thou shalt not steal. Anybody not understand that, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. You may not be doing it. You may not be able to do it. You may feel overwhelmed by it, but you're not confused by it, right? It's the direct imperatives are kind of easy. The harder way, I think, that the Bible teaches is through these stories. And in these stories, these characters are like illustrations for us, right? They're examples for us. We're supposed to kind of like put ourselves in their place and say, well, how would I do it if I was there? Did it work for them? Did it not work for them? They're illustrations of stuff that we might face in our lives. And these characters are not the Messiah, right? These characters are not perfect. They mess up plenty. In fact, a lot of times we can learn as much from their failures as we can from their successes about what is good and what is bad. We have to do some, the word hermeneutics, do you know that word? It's like we have to like pull the truth out of it. Like we have to extract the truth out of it, because we're looking at those stories and we got to kind of ask ourselves, is this a good example that I should follow, or is this a bad example that I should not follow? So who's up for some hermeneutic exercises? We're going to do it anyway. Just you might as well raise your hand. Okay, so here's what we'll do. We'll just look at a few stories in the Bible really quick. And I just want you to see, that just like, is this a good example that we should follow, or is this a bad example that we should avoid? Let's see how we do with this. Adam and Eve, they mostly trusted themselves instead of God, right? And so they trusted their version of good and evil instead of God's version of good and evil. And then they got thrown out of the garden and separated from God and banished from paradise forever. Would you say that's a good example or a bad example? That's a bad example. So should we choose our own version of good and evil, or should we trust God's? There it is, Hermeneutics 101, man. We look at the story, we look at the characters, we look at what they came up against, and we say, if they did it bad, don't do that. If they did it good, do that, right? Old Testament Joseph. Okay, here's a guy that went through really hard stuff, really hard stuff, but he kept his faith and he persevered and he never gave up on God. Then he became the vice president of Egypt. And God used him to save Israel. Would you say that that's a good example or a bad example? Good example. So should we persevere and have faith and never give up on God? That's how it works, right? David, lots of stories about David. Here's a story about David. Instead of going out to fulfill his responsibilities to his God and his country and his job and his family, he hung out on a roof looking at naked women that weren't his wife. Okay, that's what he did. And then he became an adulterer, a liar, a murderer. His son died. His family was a mess. His life was trash. So in this story, would you say David's a good example or a bad example? That's a pretty bad example, right? So should we neglect our responsibilities and hang out on the roof looking at porn all day? Probably not. Daniel refused to worship anyone except God, even when his life was threatened, and God saved him from impossible situations and used him to change the course of history. Do you think Daniel's a good example or a bad example? He's a good example. So should we do what he did? Yeah, let's do what he did. Here's one more. Ananias and Sapphira. You know this story? It's in Acts chapter 5. They lied to their pastor. And to God. And they dropped dead in church. And the ushers had to come in and wrap them up in sheets and drag them out to the church parking lot. You like that one, Margaret? Good example or bad example? So should we lie to our pastor? I don't think so. Should we volunteer as ushers? Well, maybe not. Okay, so one of my favorite characters and stories in the Bible is Peter, and especially the calling of Peter. I mean, don't you love Peter? I mean, I just so relate. Paul is like, I have a hard time with Paul because he's like so smart and so educated. He knows everything. He's very well connected. I like Peter, man. He's like me. He's like me. You know, Jesus loves him, but I'm not sure why. He's kind of full of himself. He thinks he knows everything. He's super bossy. He's constantly making mistakes and saying stupid stuff. He's very relatable to me, maybe to you. He wasn't a millionaire. He wasn't a great athlete. He didn't go to seminary. He didn't have a pedigree like Paul had. I'm not aware of Peter ever winning an award for anything. And yet Jesus loved him. And Jesus used him to change the world. We're talking about him 2,000 years after he died. And there are, I don't know, thousands, millions of people that have eternal relationships with God because of Peter. So in the story of his calling, Peter is a good example, right? We should do what he did, right? So we're going to do that. We're going to look at what Peter did to find his right calling. And we're going to see if maybe we can do that same thing and see if we can find our right calling so that we can be used by Jesus, like Peter was, to impact people and to change the world and to bring God's kingdom here. So we're going to read a little passage. This is kind of how Peter got his calling. Remember in this story, sometimes he's called Simon, sometimes he's called Peter. It's the same guy. We're going to look at Luke chapter 5. I'm going to read it. It's kind of a long read, so if you get your Bibles, you can follow along. But it's Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. So Peter's a commercial fisherman. He's got a family business, him and his brothers and some other friends, and they have this business. Okay, so one day Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. And he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, For the fishermen had left them there, and now they were washing their nets. And so stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, who is Peter, its owner, to push it out into the water. So they didn't have a microphone or whatever. So this is like an amphitheater thing he's creating, right? He's going to get on this boat, float out into the water a little bit, and it's going to give him better acoustics or whatever. So he steps into one of the boats, and he asks Simon to push it out into the water. He sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." And Simon replied, "Master, we worked hard all night last night. We didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. And when Simon Peter realized what happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please save me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish that they caught, as were the others that were with him. And his partners, James and John and the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. So as far as we know, Peter wasn't super smart or super educated or accomplished or particularly holy, but he impacted people and he changed the world and he mattered in the kingdom. And if that's what we want to do, I want to look at his example for some steps we can take so that we can find our calling. So if you want to make a difference in the world for the kingdom, if you want to impact people and impact the world, if you're looking forward to that day when Jesus says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," you feel like all you need now is, "Let's get going, man. Help me find what I'm supposed to do," then this is the recipe, man. This is going to be our steps. Step one, you got to really see the Lord. And I think this, for most of us, I think this idea of impacting people and impacting the world and impacting the kingdom, it doesn't really start with hard work. And it doesn't really start with like building your credentials or getting educated or analyzing your skill set or your spiritual gifts, because it's honestly not really about you. Honestly, it's kind of silly for me to think that my skill set has something to offer the kingdom. Right? I'm not interested at all in what I can do. What I'm interested in is what he can do through me. Does that make sense? So really, it's not really so much about you. It's about you seeing him. And I think on this day, Peter saw who Jesus really was. As soon as that miracle happened, man, Jesus has been teaching, he's been listening, this crazy miracle happens, and Peter says, "Man, God, save me." In some versions, he says, "Get away from me." Right? "I can't even be close to you, because I see how holy you are." I think the first step for Peter finding his calling was for him to really see the Lord. And some grace for us, right? It took him a minute. This doesn't seem like it's Peter's first meeting with Jesus when he has this great realization. In fact, a couple of pages before that, Luke tells us that Jesus already healed Peter's mother-in-law. So he already has kind of a relationship. It seems like Peter's already at least kinda following Jesus, maybe like part-time. He kept his day job, right? And he's kind of following. He trusted Jesus a little bit. He let him use his boat, right? He trusted him a little bit. He called him master. So he trusted him some. But on this day, after he really hears this teaching and after he really sees this incredible miracle, I think Peter's beginning to really see who Jesus really is. And ultimately, Peter goes on to make one of the greatest statements in the Bible. When Jesus asks in Matthew 16, Jesus says, "You know, who do people say I am?" And then he says, "Well, who do you say I am?" Remember what Peter said? "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And I think seeing who Jesus is just really matters when he's calling you to do something. Because, you know, if I ask you to do something, you should probably just do it, right? Right? Just seeing who would say yes, because I'm making notes for later. If your spouse asks you to do something, you should probably do it. Right? If your parents ask you to do something, then you should do it, right? If a cop stops you and gives you instructions, good idea to do it, right? But when the Messiah, when the Son of the living God asks you to do something, do that. It is the right thing, right? It will matter. It will impact people. It will impact the world. It will impact the kingdom, and he'll empower you to do it. But I think that starts when you really see who you're really dealing with. And maybe that starts with talking to him you know, listening to him and learning about him and spending time with him. And that way you'll get to know his heart, and that way you'll get to know his call, and you'll get to know his voice, and you'll get to trust what he says. If you want to see how you can impact people and the world and God's kingdom, if you want to see your calling, it starts, I think, with seeing the Lord. And sometimes people get stuck on this question of the specifics, like, you know, what is God's will for my life? Like, what specific thing am I supposed, what is God's will for my life? And I think one really good way to kind of get at that, because we all want that, but like to get there, I think maybe it helps to try a more generalized approach. So, Jim, do you have that slide? If I want to know God's will for my life, first, let's get to know God's will, right? In a little more in general. And to do that, first we need to just know God, right? So if the secret to knowing God's will for my life is knowing God's will, and the secret for knowing God's will is just knowing God. I think when we really know him, when we really see him, we begin to see his ways and his love and his passion and his will, then it's just a matter of us figuring out like where we fit in. But it starts with knowing God. It starts when we really see the Lord. And then it's time for step two. Listen for the call. Listen for the call. Now that you've seen Jesus and you know him better, John 10:27 says, now you can recognize his voice. His sheep know his voice, but you have to listen for it. And you have to listen intentionally. You have to be like proactive. And I've got bad news. Jesus might not come to your work like he did with Peter. Right? He might not just show up on your job and do an incredible miracle and then ask you to follow him. And I think about it, like, it seemed like Peter had an advantage, right? If Jesus just walked into your office or your work site or whatever, and he did an incredible miracle and then said, now follow me, it's like, well, that's easy. Of course I'm going to do it, right? But you know what? You have an advantage that Peter didn't have. Because when that happened to Peter, Peter didn't have what you have now, which is you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, right? And part of the Holy Spirit's function, part of his job living inside of you is to help you talk to God, but it's also to help you understand and hear from God. But just like in any conversation, you have a part to play. Even when the other person is talking, you have to tune in. You know, you have to intentionally, proactively, on purpose, listen. And a lot of people have told me, man, I am listening. He's not saying anything, you know? And I know it's hard, but do you ever talk to somebody and they're listening to you, but they're also on their phone? You ever have that? Or you talk to somebody in a restaurant and you think they're really pondering what you're saying, and then you realize that there's a TV above your head. And it's like, I mean, do you ever wonder if God feels that way when he speaks to us? Yeah, I'm listening, but I got a lot of things going on. I got a lot of noise in my life drowning that out, and I think our lives are going to be noisy, man. It's hard to avoid that, but I think we have to intentionally focus, you know? There's a big difference in listening to something and listening for something, right? Like intentionally, I'm listening for something. I'll give you a great example. Like right now in this room, you're listening to a lot of stuff. You're listening to me talk, you're listening to people breathing, you're listening to babies, you know, whatever's going on. Right now, whether you know it or not, you're listening to the air conditioner. But now I'll ask you to take a second and listen for the air conditioner. Do you hear it differently? Do you hear it better? Here's a good experiment. Don't do this one. Sometime when you're in church, but not this church, listen to the traffic noise outside. I mean, you're listening to it whether you know it or not, but when you listen for it, it's like you're guessing what kind of car that was. You know, that sounded like a motorcycle. Oh, that sounded like a big truck. It's because I'm tuned into that. And I hear it, we heard it before, but you hear it differently when you're really, really like tuned into it. So, and now you can't stop hearing it, you know? And I think sometimes, cue the truck. Okay. I think sometimes we don't hear God's call. Like maybe we hear it, maybe we even listen to it, but we're not listening for it, you know? We're not really so focused in on it. We're just so distracted by all the other noise in our life, and that's why it's so important to find some time, you know, every day to just be with him, you know, no people and no phones and no noise, just you talking to him and you listening to him. That's how you get to know his voice. That's how you recognize his voice. And maybe he's even going to call you right then while you're listening and tell you what he wants you to do. But you have to really listen, because not only is your calling different than mine or Peter's or the person next to you, but the way you hear your calling, the way he calls you, may be different than mine or Peter's or the person next to you. There's lots of ways God might call you. Maybe you're reading the Bible and you just go, oh, I gotta do that. You know, it just like, it's just, I gotta do, maybe that's how he'll call you. Maybe that's how he'll call you. Maybe he'll put like a burning desire in you. You don't even know where it came from. A couple of years ago, like many years ago, Pastor Mike became aware of human trafficking. He was like one of the first people I ever heard talk about it. And like he became aware of it and he couldn't let it go. Couldn't get past it. We got to do something about this. I think it's like a call for him. And so now he works with Ransom Life. Now our church supports Ransom Life. We're trying to do work in that field. Why? Because he felt this call. He felt this burning desire. It was like something he couldn't not do. Maybe that's how you'll get your call. Maybe it'll be something you read in the Word. Maybe it'll be this burning thing inside of you. Or maybe not. Maybe it'll just be like a need that you become aware of. You know, a lot of you know Mandy Majors. Mandy started a ministry called NextTalk.org. If you're a parent and you're raising kids and there's an internet in your world, you should check out NextTalk.org. It's amazing content to help parents kind of help their kids navigate the stuff that's coming at them from the internet. And she didn't go to school for that. Like she didn't, when she was a little girl, she wasn't saying, someday I'm going to start a ministry. She didn't think about that. But one day, her daughter, who was like elementary, fourth grade, I think, came home and asked her a question about something somebody at school had showed her on their phone, and asked her mom this question, which was like highly sexualized. And she said, wow, there's a need for parents. I don't know what to do with this. Parents need to get some help. We need to start this thing. So it wasn't that she had some great passion for that subject or something. She just saw a need. And it was a need that she wasn't aware of before. And so sometimes that might be your calling. Just you become aware of a need that maybe it doesn't even seem like a big deal to you at the time, but you just never know when Jesus is going to do something amazing just through your obedience, just through your willingness to just help. And like right, think about this. Now, looking back, we know that the world was changed because Peter said yes to Jesus borrowing his boat for an hour. I mean, who saw that coming? Jesus saw that coming. And I think we just kind of have to be ready. I don't see that this is important. I don't even know what this means. I don't know how this fits into the plan. It doesn't really make sense to me, but I'm going to be looking. I'm listening for my call. And sometimes it's just a need that comes up. Last Sunday, a tree fell over in our parking lot and crushed our fence through no fault of mine. Through very little fault of mine. I caused this tree to fall over, is what happened. Okay, but the important thing is this. So it's crushed this fence, and now it's all dangerous sitting out there and everything. I don't know what we're going to do. So then Tuesday afternoon, I sent an email to one of our men's Bible studies. It's Iron Men, meets on Wednesday nights. And I just said, hey, this tree fell over and crushed the fence. I don't know if anybody's available, but if somebody could help us with that, that would be great. So the next morning, Wednesday, I get here at about 8:15 in the morning, and James Melton and Don Loving were out there with chainsaws. They'd already chopped it up. It was already in the back of their trucks, and they were hauling it off. And the cool thing about that was it was a need. It was a need. And it wasn't some big, profound, you know, thing or something like that. We don't even know what difference it will make for the kingdom. I don't even know how God will use that. Maybe 10,000 years from now, they'll say, oh, that's why, right? That was so important. Maybe that tree was going to fall on a kid that now is going to become the next Billy Graham. You know, I don't know. I don't know how God will use that. But it was just a need that they became aware of. And I think we can take comfort and solace. God doesn't waste time. God doesn't waste time. If he calls you to do something and you do it, it will impact people. It will impact the world. It will impact the kingdom. And maybe it's just an opportunity to serve you know, that just comes up, and you say yes to something small that accomplishes something huge. A few years ago, we didn't have a worship pastor, and so I asked Joy if she could just fill in for a couple of weeks till I found a permanent one. 6 years ago. And God had just used Joy in incredible ways. I mean, to me, Joy, I think, is really one of the best worship leaders in the country. And she's just an amazing teacher, and she leads us every week, and she's developed this amazing team. She's a pastor. She's a pastor. She is awesome. And I'm thinking about making it a permanent job for her. But here's the thing. Joy didn't, like, go to school to learn how to be a worship pastor. Joy didn't like chart her life. Oh, someday this, you know. Joy wasn't a little girl on her bed as a teenager. Someday, that's not at all what happened. This opportunity came up to serve, to help, and she took it. I think if you want to matter, if you want to make a difference, if you want to impact people, if you want to impact the world, if you want to impact the kingdom, first you have to really see the Lord, right? Really see who you're dealing with and the value of what He says and what He's calling you to do, and you have to intentionally, proactively listen for the call, because it might come in a lot of different ways. And then the hard part, you gotta say yes. You gotta take that first step. You gotta make that first call. You gotta have that first conversation. You gotta accept that first assignment. And I'm gonna tell you, a lot of time that assignment might not make a lot of sense to you at the time. And you might be like, well, how is this going to work? You know, what does this even mean? How is this going to matter? I doubt that Peter had any idea what he was getting into, right? I love the way Jesus called him. He didn't give him like a job description, you know. Well, let's meet 5 or 6 times, and I'll tell you what you can expect and what we'll expect from you. Jesus said, follow me. And Jesus said, yep, and dropped what he was doing, and kind of the rest is history. I am pretty sure Peter had no idea what he was getting into. When I got the call to lead this church, now some of you have heard this story, but you know what I was doing before this? Teaching 3-year-olds at the big CBC. That was my calling. I was teaching 3-year-olds. I am good with 3-year-olds. We relate, like, intellectually, you know? And I was leading a life group, and that's it. And one day, the pastor, Robert, who I didn't know he knew my name, asked me to have lunch. So I thought, like, I'm in trouble or something, you know? So I went, I brought my checkbook just in case, you know, preachers. So I go, well, I don't know what he's going to ask. Did I do something wrong or something like that? And he says, Larry, how would you like to pastor a multi-site church? And I said, I would love to pastor a multi-site church. I would kill to pastor a I can't wait to pastor a multi-site church. What is a multi-site church? I had no idea. I'm still trying to figure it out. And maybe you've noticed this. God's funny, man. I mean, a lot of times the call may seem like it's way too hard, like it's over your head, like it's above you. And a lot of times it may seem like it's beneath you. But if we want to be used by God, if we want to impact people, if we want to impact the world, if we want to make changes for the kingdom, we've got to say yes. And I should tell you that when you say yes, it will almost certainly require change and sacrifice. So suck on that for a minute. Change and sacrifice. I can't think of a Bible story, and I can't think of a modern story of God doing anything amazing through anyone without that someone having to make changes and sacrifices. But it was worth it to them because they wanted to impact people. They wanted to impact the world. They wanted to change the kingdom. And honestly, the biggest pushback I hear from people about saying yes is not them saying they don't want change or they don't want to make sacrifices. The biggest pushback I hear when people, I think, are feeling a call to do something is they say, I just don't have anything to offer. You know, I can't preach, I can't sing, I just don't have any spiritual gifts to share. And that sounds like really holy and really humble, but it's actually BS. It is. It's straight up Bible suppression. What do you think of me? Come on, people. It If you're a Christian, the Bible tells us that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? He lives in you. He lives in you. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, he gives each of us a spiritual gift so that we can help. So if you say you have no gifts, if you say you have nothing to offer, if you say you can't do anything to help, either you're wrong or the Bible is. And I know a lot of people feel, I mean, it's not, they're just, it is humility. They just feel like unworthy, like I don't feel deserving of the call. And I felt that. I get it, man. I'm sure Peter felt it. Anybody that God calls to do something amazing, you know, I think anybody would feel that. But Peter and me are great examples of this truth. God chooses who he uses. And God uses who he chooses. And it's really cool when he chooses somebody who seems totally underqualified. And you know why? Because if he chooses somebody that's underqualified, like Peter, or like me, or like maybe you, when something amazing happens, when people are impacted and the world is impacted and the kingdom is impacted, God gets the glory instead of Peter, or instead of me, or instead of you. So if you want to find real purpose, if you want to matter, I think eternally, if you want to impact people, if you want to impact the world, if you want to help bring God's kingdom here, you don't have to be hyper-talented. You don't have to be, you know, specially gifted. You don't have to be super educated. You don't have to be particularly holy. You have to do what Peter did. You have to really see the Lord and know who you're dealing with. You have to intentionally listen for the call, because it might come in a lot of different ways. It might just be some need that pops up. And then you have to just say yes. And I'll just ask you for a second to think, like, what would your life look like if you did? Right? What if Jesus called you to do something and you said yes? And he used that for his purposes. You know him, right? He's pretty cool. And the stuff that he wants, imagine if you could be part of what he's doing. Imagine what you would feel. Imagine the impact you could have. And I'll ask you something better than that. What if we all did that? Can you imagine if, like, we're a couple hundred people in here, right? What if everybody in here really saw who Jesus is and how amazing he is and how important his plan is and how great he is? And what if every single person in here were just really proactively, intentionally saying, Jesus, just show me, man. Just show me what to do and I'll do it. And then what if when those calls came, every single person here said yes? You know what that would be? That would be God's kingdom come. So if you want God's kingdom to come, this is the part we all have to play. We all have to see Jesus, we have to listen carefully, and we have to say yes. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you because you've created us differently than animals and trees and mushrooms and rocks and cloud. You've created us in your image. You've created us with purpose. You've created us with a calling on our lives to partner with you in ruling the world and to impact the people around us and to change the world that's around us and to help your kingdom come here. So Lord, I just pray that you'll just, I know Satan doesn't love this, so he's gonna come against us. And when he does, just remind us, we don't need to see a heart of this, we need to see you. We need to see who you really are, and we need to be ears open, listening for opportunities to find some way to hear from you through the word, through a situation, through something burning inside of us. We need to listen intentionally. And God, when that call comes, I just pray that you'll give each one of us the faith, not in ourselves, the faith in you, to say yes, so that we can be like Peter, so that we can really impact the people around us, we can really change this world, and we can really bring your kingdom here. Thank you for trusting us that much and loving us that much and including us in your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.